From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We start this week with our monthly tour of recent science headlines, compliments of our friends at Nature News. Benjamin Thompson joins me now from their London offices. Benjamin, good to talk with you again.
Heather, it's an absolute pleasure.
We're going to focus on just two stories this time around, two biggies. The first is the discovery of the most complete or the largest fossil yet of an ancient human from a group known as the Denisovans. Before we talk about this new fossil, who even was that group? I mean, we all seem to be familiar with Neanderthals, but this is a different group.
Yes, the Denisovans are a group of hominins, and they're quite mysterious. Now, they say they're an ancient group, a sister group, if you will, to the Neanderthals, and they split off from sort of lineage to humans, as I understand it, about half a million years ago.
That's a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason they're so mysterious is that, there's been very sort of little evidence of their existence. And now their name comes from a cave in Siberia, where some teeth and some shards of bones were discovered about a decade ago, give or take. And these were identified as being this new group of hominins, the Denisovans.
So what is this new find?
Yes, so this answers a lot of questions that ancient anthropologists and researchers have been asking and looking for answers for. And this finding was from a cave in the Tibetan Plateau, which is obviously thousands and thousands of miles away from Russia, where the first cave was. And this is a jawbone and a couple of teeth. These have turned out to be more remains from the Denisovans.
I have to say that some of the headlines this past week, the most complete or the largest fossil yet, and then you find out, it's just the jawbone, but even that is more than we had before. And as you said, answers some intriguing questions, some of which has to do with adaptation to living at higher altitudes, because not only is this Tibetan cave thousands of miles away from the original cave in Siberia, it's also quite a bit higher in elevation, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Sort of 3,000 meters above sea level, I believe, which is, as you say, much higher than the original cave. Now, Denisovan DNA has been found in modern humans in Asia and Oceania for a while, right? And it was expected that sort of the remains of these Denisovans would be found more widely. If there's evidence in human DNA, they should have been found all over the place. And that's what this finding has allowed now. This finding in the Tibetan Plateau has showed that they were in other places that weren't just Siberia. And these Denisovans had a gene variant that helped them live at high altitudes, okay? Something that I think was believed to have developed a little bit later on from when they were believed to have sort of split off on the timeline. Now, some modern Tibetans have this gene variant, and that helps them live at high altitudes. And so nobody could really square the circle of where this variant came from until now that Denisovans have been found in that location.
In addition to, opening up the realm of possibilities about where Denisovans lived and maybe answering or providing some clues to follow up on, at least with regard to the ancestry of that gene variant in Tibetans, this find and this analysis of the fossil seems to open up a realm of new possibilities just in how fossils are even analyzed and how the relationships between different fossils are analyzed. That also has made it a little bit controversial. So what did they do differently in this case?
Yes, this is quite fascinating, and it seems like it could be a really important development. So typically when we're analyzing sort of ancient remains, you're looking for DNA, right? That's the gold standard for comparing and contrasting, species and remains to see whereabouts on the timeline and what species they've come from. Now, the problem with DNA, and particularly ancient DNA, is that often it can get degraded by, humidity or just time or what have you. But in this case, the team have used protein remains to try and work out where these Denisovans, were they Denisovans in the first instance, to be honest with you. Now, DNA and proteins have been used together in the past, but this is the first time it's been a solely sort of protein-based solution. And what the research team did is they looked at a collagen protein in the teeth of these remains, and that sort of lasted for these thousands of years. And they compared these proteins to other Denisovan proteins and that found in Neanderthals and what have you. And this is how they've managed to come up with this lineage and the belief proof that these were Denisovans.
Well, We need to move on to the other story this week, which is unfortunately not nearly as much fun. And it's a rather dire report from the UN, actually a preview of a full report that will come out later this year about the role that humans are playing in the widespread extinction of other species on the planet. Can you just give us the upshot of this report?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sort of sugarcoat this one. Up to 1 million plant and animal species face extinction, and many of those within decades because of human activities. So we're not talking, you know, far-flung future. We're talking the here and now.
And what are the causes that specifically they pinpoint, I think, five different human activities that are the main drivers of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what the reports or what this sort of preview of the report says is that more than 75% of sort of land areas and more than 66% of oceans have been significantly altered by people. Now, much of this has been caused by agricultural activities, you know, crop and livestock operations. You know, they co-opt apparently more than 33% of the Earth's land and 75% of freshwater resources. So agriculture then is, you know, is a big driver of these fears. And other threats to nature are through the exploitation of things like, you know, logging or harvesting and fishing, and other things were the spread of invasive species and, of course, climate change.
Is this an inevitable end at this point? I mean, the headline is pretty dire, but what does this report say about whether this is a preventable outcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sense that I get from this is without sort of transformative changes to, you know, economic, social, political systems and policies, I mean, the people behind this report, and to give them their full name, is the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, or the IPBES. I think they suggest that major losses to biodiversity will continue into 2050 and beyond. So, I mean, it really isn't a good news story, this one.
And they do highlight that this isn't just a problem for the plants and animals that are going extinct. It isn't just a problem for those who care about nature or consider themselves environmentalists, that this is a problem for humans and for our societies, right?
Yes. And it really does add grist to the mill that governments need to take action and they need to do it soon. So this really is an agenda-setting report.
Well, Benjamin, not a happy note to end on, but we do thank you. That's Benjamin Thompson. He's a multimedia editor with Nature's podcast and video team. Benjamin, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.